Back to the eighth psalm. Good morning, beloved. Learning about praise from the puny through these two rich contrasts. First, we saw between babes and bullies in verse 2. And now verses 3 through 8, the meat and middle of this great psalm, brings us the second contrast, which is between man as puny yet prominent. Contrast between puny man and yet prominent man. Little and yet dignified. Small and yet profoundly honored and privileged. Open your Bibles there. Remember where we've been. It's all about praising God's majesty. After the first contrast, now comes the second contrast, beginning in verse 3. He says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained." Do you hear this song, friends? David confessing, "On a clear night, Lord, when I'm out shepherding my flocks, when I lay down on a hillside and look up at the windswept sky, on one of those bright nights when the vast host of the heavenly light stretches from horizon to horizon, my heart is swept up, 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 away from everyday thoughts and anxieties, and we would add from corona crises and economic turmoil and endless uncertainties. We look up into the boundless fields of space and up beyond that to the space maker, up high into the majesty of such a creator, the star kindler, the moon sculptor, the God of the galaxies. And then we think in modern times what we know, thanks to astronomy, thanks to the Hubble telescope and so much else and some of the other scientific breakthroughs. And we have all the more reason to join with David in this childlike awe and humble amazement at how the night sky proclaims his glory and shouts out his majesty. Never mind the daytime sky with the blazing sun larger than a million Earths and 93 million miles away from us, the sun. But compared to the nighttime stars, the sun is just a small to medium-sized star, a yellow dwarf, as the scientists call it. Puny compared to the super giant stars, as many as 1,000 times larger than our sun. And that's just some of the 200 or so billion stars estimated to be in our one galaxy, the Milky Way. Just one of an estimated 200 or more billion galaxies, give or take a few billion. Let that sink in for a moment. Think of some of those satellite images that we get nowadays of deep space and multiple galaxy upon galaxy upon galaxy. We're breathless, are we not? And oh, by the way, verse 3 says, this is just the work of his fingers. This is just God jotting a few notes. This is just, you know, knitting a few galaxies together. This is merely the work of his hands, as verse 1 puts it. And don't forget Mr. Moon, by the way, friends. God has delegated for him to keep the perfect balance on Earth's life-sustaining environment, the level of the oceans, the high tides and low tides that keep the Earth from being totally flooded or drained dry. Did you know that modern science has spent some $20 billion, that's right, $20 billion U.S. dollars, just trying to answer the question of how the moon evolved? Talk about a colossal waste of time and money. When I consider your heavens, verse 3, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars which you have ordained. God put it there. God did it. God made it. Romans 1 says, through what we see, we know God's eternal power and his divine nature. There is a creator. You try as hard as you like to deny it. You know he did this. That's why Psalm 8 has been called the Song of the Astronomer. That could be your title for Psalm 8. While in speechless awe, breathless wonder at the vastness of God's universe, look next at what David exclaims. does he say, isn't mankind magnificent? Aren't we beautiful? Shouldn't we just feel great about ourselves? Isn't it wonderful to know the universe revolves around us? No, a million times no. Verse 4, what is man that you take thought of him? And the Son of Man that you care for him? What should all of our study of science and nature and the universe and astronomy and every subject in God's world, what should it produce in us? Not pride, but humility. Not boasting, but brokenness. Not a big head, but a big God who awes us and stuns us. Big hearts of worship. Whenever I'm tempted to think too much of myself or my little video devotions or my sermons, or to be overwhelmed at my problems, for that matter, or whenever I'm tempted to just be overcome with all of mankind's problems and all of the plight of humanity and this troubled world, this cruel planet, these awful viruses, when I'm in that place like that, nothing cures me like a good look upward, a walk outdoors, a gaze up at the starry sky. Even if you need to drive a few Ks outside of town. Tim, you say, how dumb can you be? How ridiculous to get all worked up about man. Yes, that's what David is actually saying in this psalm. And we need to say to ourselves from this psalm, how foolish to get all anxious about little me. This little speck, this little germ, this puny worm of the dust in God's grand universe. It's like standing in the middle of a huge forest and then saying, oh no, a leaf fell from a tree. What is that one leaf in light of a whole forest? And yet God does notice and he does care. Though we are tiny and minuscule and should be utterly insignificant, God thinks otherwise. Out of all the billions of galaxies and all of the billions of stars in our galaxy and out of all the planets and places, God has chosen this one little blue planet as his greatest concern and the object of his deepest affections. Out of all the billions of creatures on this planet, God has chosen to take thought of, verse 4 tells us, to especially care for you and me, mankind. What astonishing condescension, what infinite kindness, what a great comfort and hope. Man, the Son of Man, verse 4 says, emphasizing here man's frailty, human mortality, weakness, and fleshliness. Ezekiel uses this phrase 93 times in his prophecy, contrasting the finite prophet, Son of Man, with the infinite, eternal God. And yet, look at who is asking this question in the first place. What is man? It's not the angels talking or the stars, not some ape or dolphin barking out this psalm. No, only man asks this question. Already we see God's design, the unique way in which he has designed us in his image to know and worship him. You see, friends, atheism and evolutionary science produce the opposite response in you when you gaze at the vast universe. Secularism and humanism want you to be awestruck at the immensity of nature. And then to have that horrifying, sinking thought in the pit of your stomach to say, what if I am meaningless in the greater scheme of things? If there is no God, or if he is so distant and unknowable, is there any point at all to my tiny little existence on this one blue planet? Does anyone notice or care at all that I'm here on this earth? Is anybody out there? Listen again to Isaac Watts. Lord, what is worthless man that thou shouldst love him so? Next to thine angels is he placed, and Lord of all below. Thine honors crown his head while beasts like slaves obey, and birds that cut the air with wings, and fish that cleave the sea, as we'll see next time. How rich thy bounties are, Lord, and wondrous are thy ways. Of dust and worms thy power can frame a monument of praise. Amen. See you tomorrow.